Good. Good. Okay, Yoshua. So, in answer to Charlie's question, it's true that most of Tanakh is really bad. There are a few exceptions to that. The first one is
Yoshua.
Yoshua is a beautiful book. Yoshua is wonderful. Right? Yoshua is so wonderful because it is the book where nobody messes up. Right? What? Yeah, no Jews mess up. Jews don't mess up. How many people mess up in Sefer Yoshua?
Zero.
No.
One.
One person. One person. Achan. Right? One person really messes up. Right? One person really messes up. Right? But Yoshua is a pretty idyllic book as things go, which is a bit funny. Right? It's a bit funny that that's the case. Because it doesn't start off so promising.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't start off so promising. What do I mean? Let's try to get a snapshot. Okay, let's first do a bit of a summary. Okay, let's summarize Yoshua very quickly. What is Yoshua? How does it go? Just basic summary.
Moshe dies.
That's the end of the Torah.
Yoshua
is appointed leader. That's how we start. And then what do we do? What? Let's just summarize it. Summary very quickly.
Cross the Yarden.
Fight the wars. Win. Divide the country.
Yeah.
Right? That's the book. Right? It's not like a... I'm not trying to trick you here. Right? Yoshua is a pretty simple book. Right? Moshe dies. Yoshua is appointed leader. They cross the Yarden. I mean, yes. There's a little bit more, obviously. They send spies. They find out that everyone's afraid. They go in. They have a miraculous first war. Then in the second war, one person sins. They catch him. They punish him. And then nobody else apparently sins in all of Yoshua. Right? And then they win the wars. And then they divide up the country. Okay, they made a little mistake with Givonim. Fine. Right?
What was that?
Right, the Givonim. Right, people. Right, they're of the seven nations. They pretend not to be the seven nations. But what's their mistake? They were too hasty in making a treaty with the Givonim. So, right, they end up making them slaves. Right, but like the book is pretty idyllic as things go.
Right.
Which is sort of strange. Why is that strange? Tell me why it's strange. Why does that strike you as weird?
What?
That it's like such a happy book.
God told Moshe everyone's gonna do it.
Well, first of all, yeah, God said everything's gonna go terribly, but also, like,
it's never happened before.
Moshe was the greatest leader ever, and then Yoshua, who's not Moshe, right? That's all we can basically say. He's not Moshe. He has all of one person mess up, and that person ends up confessing his sin when Yoshua asks him to. They put him to death. And then everybody else is fine. Like, how is he so successful?
They were not scared when they got here.
What?
Those people that were just hearing the speech, they were probably scared.
Really? In the Torah, when like Moshe kills all the people who did the Egel, and then they end up messing up with Korach and the Meraglim, and they complain about water and food and water, and then at the end of the Torah, they complain about food and water again? Like,
I'm just saying it's that segment, it's that same generation of people that were in Hasidu.
Yeah, but they messed up with Moshe. They were the same people.
They were punished for 40 years. They killed out that generation.
Well, okay. So this is something that Rabbi Chaim Angel points out. At some level, okay. First of all, why is this strange? This is strange because Yoshua is so much not Moshe, right? That you open up, I mean, just look at the beginning of Yoshua. Vayhi acharei mot Moshe eved Adonai, vayomer el Yoshua ben Nun mishared Moshe lemor. Right? Just think about that first pasuk. It was after Moshe died, who is God's servant. Yoshua, who is Moshe's servant, takes over. Right? Do you understand how intense that first pasuk is? It's like we go from the Eved of God to the Eved of God. Right? Like, that is the transfer. Right? That is the transfer of power. It's quite stark. Right? And then, just to drive in how not confident Yoshua is in his success, if you go for the first Yupsukim, he says, Umosh Avdi mate. Moshe is dead. Right? It's like, he's just digging it in. Moshe is dead. Vata kuma vorda yardena zeh. Ata v'chol amazel arz. Shano chidiyotein lehem. L'vnei Israel. So you go. And then what does he tell him?
Everywhere you go, I'll give you what I promised.
Good. Then, pasuk vav. Chazak ve'ematz. Be strong. Pasuk Zayin. Rak chazak ve'ematzmeod. Be very, very strong. Meaning, how many times, right? This is like, if I tell you, it's going to be okay. No, it's really going to be okay. Don't worry, I'm going to be there for you. Don't worry, I'm there. And then what happens, right? A few psukim later.
Be strong. The rest.
No. No, not quite.
Yes.
Right. Right? Everybody else says to him what? The people say to him.
You're not Moshe.
No, they don't say that. Right? Right? They also give him a pep. They also give him a pep talk. Don't worry. I mean, this is, by the way, the least encouraging thing I've ever heard. Right? They say to him, we are going to be with you as we were with Moshe. Oy vey. Right? That is like, honestly, like, really? Right? Except, and then, like, look, skip to Pasuk Tet Zayin. Vayanu et Yosher lemor, kol asher tzivanu na'aseh, kol asher tishlachanu nelech. Whatever you say, we'll do. Wherever you send us, we'll go. Kechol asher shamanu al Moshe, kinish ma'ilecha. As much as we listen to Moshe. Like, if I was hearing that, I'd be like, oh, this is not gonna end well. Right? Rocky, yeah, Hashem Elokecha Imach, Asher Yom Moshe, God will be with you like it was Moshe. Kol Isha Shamret Picha V'lishmad V'recha Kol Asher Tzivenu Yumat. And anyone who doesn't listen will be put to death. Rach Chazak V'amatz, don't worry about it. Three times in one perek, the people and God have to say, it's okay. Just calm down, right? Be strong, right? Like, and we're going to be with you like Moshe. And you're like, oh, really? That's how this is going to go? And then what happens?
They don't sin.
It's beautiful. Mamish, the book is beautiful. Nothing happens. Right? It's like totally idyllic. Right? Literally, one person messes up really badly. And then even him, Yoshua asks him, please confess. And he does it. Right? It's like, it's mind-boggling. So, right, Chaim Angel has this nice vort that if you want to understand Yoshua and why it's so idyllic, so you got to think about it this way. The way he frames it is Gemara and Brachot. Gemara and Brachot says that Moshe tells the Jewish people, "Ma Hashem Elokecha Shomel Meimach." What does God want from you? Ki im liyarauto. He just wants you to fear him, love him, keep all the Torah. Right? That's and the Gemara says, "Whoa, v'chi milta zutrasahi." And that's a small thing, right? Meaning, what does God want for you? Nothing. Just keep the whole Torah and fear him and love him and cling to him and, you know, just do everything and that's it. And what does the Gemara say? In Lemishayeshlo Milta Jerusalzehi. If you have it, it's not a big deal. I mean, Moshe was perfect. Right? What?
The Gemara says for Moshe.
Yeah. So for Moshe, he's perfect. So he thought it wasn't a big deal. Right?
Yeah.
But what about Yoshua?
He's not perfect.
He's not perfect. How do I know he's not perfect?
He's not Moshe.
So first of all, he's not Moshe. But there's a fascinating midrash in Kohelet Rabbah that points out that the first Yoshua, before he becomes leader, has all of two speaking roles in Tanakh. Right?
Yes. The Meraglim?
Meraglim is... No. Yeah.
And on person.
Well, before that. No, before Meraglim, he has two other speaking roles. That's his third. He has three speaking roles.
Does he speak on
Meraglim? He does, yes. Afterward. I mean, he doesn't really speak. We know he joins Kalei, fine. He has two real speaking roles. What are they?
Har Sinai.
And?
Korah.
And Eldad Umeidad. Right? Eldad Umeidad. So let's go through them quickly. Right? At Har Sinai, what happens? Moshe comes down during? The Egel. He says to Yoshua, what do you hear? And what does he say? I hear war. Right? And what does Moshe tell him? Lo kol anot gvura, v'lo kol anot chelusha, kol anot ani shomea. That's not war. That's not the strong and the weak. That's just yelling. Right? That's just an orgy. Right? That's what's going on. Right? It's just chaos down there. Right? Second time we meet him is Eldad and Medad. Eldad and Medad, what happens? They try to get 72 members of Sanhedrin, right, to prophesy. Eldad and Medad prophesy in the camp. Yoshua runs, or the Nar runs to Moshe and says, Adoni Moshe Kla'aim, right, put them in prison, stop them. And what does Moshe say? Yes. Why would I do that? Umi ten kol Hashem Nevi'im. So the Midrash points out that Yoshua is really not perfect. In fact, the Torah goes out of its way that the first two speaking roles he has, he's wrong. Right? That is literally the only thing we know about him, is that every time he opens his mouth, Moshe shuts him down. Right? Right? That's the Midrash. And the Midrash then says that's why all the Jews panicked and said, Oy Gevald, Moshe is the sun and Yoshua is the moon. Right? What? No, it's Moshe is the real thing and he's a pale reflection. So Rabbi Angel says, so then why is Yoshua such an idyllic book?
Because they're just trying.
They think they have to do it themselves. They don't have Moshe to
read. So that would be one thing, but he has a sharper way of reading it, which is, think about it. Imagine Melchemet Ha'ai, it happened under Moshe Rabbeinu. What would have happened? Right? I mean, the Jews had lost a war that God had sent them to. Right? What would the Jews have done under Moshe?
They would have flipped out.
They would have flipped out. Right? Why don't they flip out in Yoshua? More precisely. Because Yoshua yells at God. Because Yoshua is like them. Right? They don't need to act up with Yoshua because Yoshua is human. And therefore, when they lose a war, Yoshua panics and turns to God and said, what are you doing? They don't need to complain to Yoshua. Yoshua is already out there complaining, not because they asked him to complain, but because he's human, unlike Moshe. Right? What? Right? And therefore, Yoshua has this idyllic leadership. And the end, and Sefer Yehoshua, right, we go through this, he conquers them, right, he conquers the enemies, he divides up the land, and then you go to Pasuk, go all the way to the end of the book, right, go all the way to the end of the book. Now he's an old man, right, he gives them chizuk, v'chazak them, oh, keep the Torah, etc., etc. And then he, in Perek Chof Dalet, he does a new Kabbalah Satorah, right? He has them, right? He gives them like a Musar Shmuz and they re-accept the Torah. Right? It's like a beautiful end. Like, it's not just like in his lifetime. At the end, he's getting old. He calls them together, gives them Chizuk. They re-accept the Torah. Right? This is like, right, from beginning to end. It's idyllic. Right? And, right, you get this in Perek Chof Dalet Pasuk Chof Hey. Right? Or, you know what, we can just, I'll skip around a little bit. Right? Perek Chof Dalet Pasuk Tet Zayin is the end of his life. Vayana'am vayomer chalil alanu me'azovet anay lavod elim acherim. God forbid, we're not leaving God. It's not happening. They commit to God and His Torah all over again. In Pasuk Chof Hei, vayichrod Yoshua brid la'am vayomahu vayasim l'chogu mishpat b'shchem. He makes a new brid with them. Right? They accept the Torah. It's like, right, Yoshua is like, he's just
at ease.
I mean, he's awesome. Right? And then what happens? This is like, and then, you could not get this from Moshe. Remember, what happened at the end of the Torah? Moshe was told by God, what is going to happen as soon as you die? Everything's going to fall apart. And what does not happen? Nothing falls apart. And listen to the difference. You want something striking. Listen to the difference between how Moshe, the last thing Moshe hears before he dies, and the last thing we hear about Yoshua. Perek, Chav Dalet, Pasuk, Lamed Aleph. V'aya avod Yisrael et Adonai, kol yimei Yoshua, v'kol yimei eskenim, asher richu yimei machare Yoshua, v'asher yadu et kol maasei Adonai, asher asal Yisrael. The Jews kept the Torah for the entire life of Yoshua, and all the eskenim, that followed Yoshua. I mean, Yoshua is so successful that even though Moshe was promised that after he dies, everything's going to fall apart, Yoshua and Yoshua's successors managed to hold it together perfectly. Right? It is like this bizarrely idyllic book that somehow one person sins in the entire book. The one sinner admits his sin before he gets stoned to death. He like literally is willing to admit his sin. Right? A few people, okay, they make some bad judgments with the Givonim, but like, okay. Right? He ends his life with a new Kabbalah Satorah, and then the Torah tells you, Yeshua tells you at the end of the book, by the way, the Jews kept the Torah the entire life of Yeshua and all of his successors, and everything is just great. You're like, Right? So Charlie's like, did we ever have a success? Well, actually, yeah. Somehow, despite everything, Yeshua is this beautiful book. Right? It's this beautiful, beautiful book.
What's up with the ending there? I thought you were going to say his bones.
And yeah. Oh, well, that's the closing of the Torah. Remember, we've been carrying his bones around for a heck of a long time. Right? So now we actually get to bury it. Right? That's like a... What? I mean, that because we've been waiting to do this for a long time. I don't know. We have been waiting to do it for whatever. But Charlie. But I'm gonna have to burst the bubble here, because good. So the theme of Yeshua is what? Yeah. I mean, look. In a nutshell, the story of Yeshua is the story of how we go into Israel, we conquer Israel, we divide Israel, and it's pretty idyllic. It works. Yeshua's leadership, for whatever reason, because he's a human role model, they identify with him, they listen to him, they support him, they follow God his whole life, the life of his successors. Right? He's like a beautiful snapshot of what life could look like if only everybody was Yeshua. Halevai, halevai. Right, that's Yeshua.
You say he wasn't so great.
Well, that's the irony. Right, he's not Moshe, but he's a really successful leader. Right, he gets like no pushback, no complaints. Right, even the people. I mean, it's incredible. The guy he literally stones to death listens to him. Right, like it's not just like that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. Right, it's a very idyllic view. What's the problem? Is that it is not true that Yeshua is only half the story, because Yeshua hides something, right? Which is that it's not 100% true, because, and this is what's in the middle of the book. In the middle of the book, what you find out is that you guys all did Lo Sechanim, right? What is why? Right? Good. We've been doing this, I think, right? Lo yeshvu v'artzecha. We have a prohibition in the Torah to let the nations stay in the land, because what is going to happen? Dvarim promises us. The Torah promises us that what will happen if you are derelict. Guys, the Torah promises us that if we are derelict and we allow the nations to continue living in Israel, what is going to happen? They're going to... No, they're not going to kick us out. They're going to convince us to do Avodah Zarah. And in the latter half of Yeshua, in the boring parts that no one ever wants to read, which is the dividing up the land, we find out that which Shevet actually bothered to kick out all the nations in their midst?
Yehuda.
Right? Yehuda did it. And Yosef a bit. But the majority of the Shvatim, what didn't they do? They didn't kick them out. So Yeshua is a very idyllic book. It really is. Right? It's about how Yeshua is a great leader and how they conquered Israel miraculously and then divided up, basically without a hitch. And the Jews accept the Torah all over again, and therefore they keep the Torah. It's almost idyllic. Right? That's basically Yeshua. But it hides the downfall, which is the one thing they didn't do was that Yeshua kept pushing them. Get rid of all the nations that are among you. They didn't. In the time of Yeshua, that doesn't yet lead to problems. But the one thing that Yeshua hides is that they don't listen to what God said in Dvarim, which is that if you don't kick out the nations of the land, that it's going to get pretty bad, which leads us to...